Doug Burns with the Carroll Times-Herald and Iowa Political Mercury. We had the privilege of sitting down with Senator Cory Booker a few weeks ago as he made a trip through Western Iowa. He's an engaging speaker, a very dynamic speaker, and we had an opportunity to speak to him one-on-one at the Carrollton Inn here in Carroll, Iowa. Talked about a number of issues, rural economic development, how some of his experiences as mayor in Newark might be able to translate into helping to redevelop some of, you know, forlorn or forgotten rural areas, some struggling areas. And then we talked a little bit about the movie Street Fight. I asked him whether he had any comparisons to share about any comparisons to make between President Donald Trump and Sharp James, his opponent in his first mayoral race. He had some interesting comments on that. And then we talked a little bit about his working relationship on wind energy, some ag initiatives, and certainly the criminal justice reform with Senator Grassley, who happened to be in Carroll just a day later, and talked about that with us as well. So my big takeaway on Senator Booker is that he's certainly at the top of the field in terms of speaking ability. He also had a what I thought an unexpectedly strong command of rural and agricultural issues. And he's like me, a Gen Xer, so it was interesting to sit across and talk to somebody who is I'm still 49, and he was just about to turn 50 as we spoke. So anyway, here's Senator Cory Booker. Well, again, welcome to Carroll, Senator.
It's very good to be
thanks
here.
For being here. Congressman Ro Khanna, who spent a lot of time here in rural Iowa, his argument is that one of the ways you can bridge the growing rural-urban divide is by extending digital job growth to rural areas, that right now a lot of wealth is being scooped and segregated to Seattle, Silicon Valley, the coasts, and rather than just breaking up big tech, that his sense is that if we bring some software development jobs back from India and other places and do what's happening in Jefferson, Iowa, 25 miles away from here, which is Pillar Technology from Des Moines, and Silicon Valley is developing a branch that'll employ 40 to 50 people that's tied to a community college, and the jobs will pay $65,000, $70,000 a year. So what do you think about Congressman Khanna's approach? I think it's been one of the more motivating ones I've heard as an economic development leader in the area.
So I think it's the right approach. We've got to figure out a way that the hollowing out of our interior of our nation stops and we create more opportunities here. And that's why the simple basic things, it's hard to have businesses thrive if you don't have broadband penetration that goes throughout your state. So I like his idea. There's other things we can do. This is why I worked with Tim Scott, who's a Republican from South Carolina, to create opportunity zones so that you all would have 25% of your lowest income areas, mostly rural here in Iowa, I think your opportunity zones, that create better tax treatment if you're willing to invest in communities like this. That partnered with other incentives can make businesses want to move here and locate here because of their paying lower taxes, because of other lower costs of living and things like that. But we've got to get the job of the 21st century, the new jobs, much more located here. I talked to a person at this high school I visited earlier today, one of the parents who telecommutes from mm-hmm. from her Iowa home. That's the way a lot of jobs are going to be done in the future, is people having the ability to, number one, access the internet, work from home, have more digitized jobs. And we've got to make sure we're preparing our economy for that. And the last thing I'll say is that also means that you've got to make sure that we create the kind of training in this state that really is about the jobs of the 21st century. And that means everything from programming to advanced manufacturing. And that starts to create through our community colleges and our state colleges, you can really build hubs off of those where industry, as I've seen in New Jersey, in fact, NJIT has industries developing around that in Newark, New Jersey now, because they want to be connected to the places where skilled workers are getting opportunities. And we can do that here in Iowa as well.
So with Peter Leo, our local Democratic chairman, asked you about baby bonds. I've read extensively about it, and the argument for it is generally cast and in framed as eliminating racial disparity. Wouldn't it also allow people in rural areas to stay here.
Yes.
And not be sucked into, you know, the suburbs of Des Moines. Whenever I drive from here to Des Moines, you know, you see all the growth in the suburbs. It's like a new subdivision or a new office complex seems to be popping up every time we drive in there. And 70% of Iowans are from Iowa, so yes. We know it's great to see Des Moines grow, but it happens at our expense. If we had these baby bonds, couldn't people stay in a Carroll or Jefferson more easily?
I'm so happy you see that, because I say this as well, that imagine if everybody in this community had, when they became 18, upwards of $50,000 to invest. If they invested here, that means you're creating more job growth, you're creating more businesses opening, you're creating more a better housing market for people that love their community and want to stay. So definitely these are the kind of things that would reinvigorate people who often leave because they're looking for financial opportunity. Now you have a stake in your local economy that you could use.
Right. You've worked, you mentioned this during your remarks publicly, but you've worked with Senator Grassley.
Yes.
It's easy to see how you got him on, how you worked with him on wind energy tax credits. How did you get him on board on criminal justice, and what was he like to work with? The senator will be here tomorrow.
Yes.
In Carroll for one of his regular town halls. So what was he like to work with? How did you get him on board? What was that process like on criminal justice reform with Senator Grassley?
You know, it took meeting him, not in a contentious environment, really becoming friends with him. And he is the elder senator. I'm one of the newer senators, and going to him with respect, you know, going to his office, sitting down with him, building a rapport. We don't agree on everything, but we were able to, because we had a relationship, find common ground. He is somebody that I have treated with the respect he deserves for his position and his seniority. He's somebody that I have found a lot of positive experiences working with. You know, and I had somebody say to me in there, well, how can you not call those guys out? And I go, and I explain to them that that's not how you get anything done, by getting into a yelling match with people. It hardens positioning and it makes it more difficult. If you want to do something, hey, election's coming up, organize more Democrats, organize more people that agree with you. But in the time that he is a representative of your state, I do not want to deepen divides. I want to try to find what is the common ground that we can work on. Because in your state and in my community, we deal with urgencies. We have thousands of people being liberated from prison who are unjustly incarcerated. But because of this bill, because of two guys that didn't yell at each other but found common ground, we're able to get a bill going.
Is there anything that you're looking at working with him on in the future because of that friendship?
I think that we can do more in the farm bill that really helps Iowa farmers. I think he would agree with me that these tariffs are wrong. I think he would agree with me that if we want to incentivize organics or incentivize cover crops to help with things like climate change, that we can do things through the farm bill that could be win-wins for farmers like wind energy is.
Your proposals, you do some pretty deep dives in agriculture, I think, to be if somebody's doing an honest assessment of your background and policies for somebody from New Jersey and a former mayor of Newark. You're pretty well-versed on agriculture. Last August, you introduced a bill that would have brought forth a moratorium on ag mergers, dealing with the chemical and seed companies that are consolidating to a point where there's, you know, eventually maybe just going to be one company, one giant monolithic company.
Right.
Why did you get involved in that, and are you talking about that as you're out here campaigning?
So the latter question is absolutely yes. And because I meet real people like Leo, who I kept mentioning there, who met me in the coffee shop where we talked about these issues. And he's a farmer, like dozens and dozens and dozens of farmers I've talked with here in Iowa alone, who are really being hurt, not just by the tariffs that are there, but by corporate consolidation. The farmers have told me that they've been trying to sell things up and feel like they're seeing violations in the Packers and Stockyard Act, where people are cutting them off from having the ability to sell their cattle. So this to me is, how do we get to this situation where we've seen consolidation below farmers and there are seed and chemicals that they need to grow and to feed, and consolidation in the people that are purchasing, where they can now do something as terrible as cutting them off, blacklisting them for making sales. That is so that's only undemocratic, but it's against the very idea of capitalism. And so my moratorium bill is like Paul Wellstone called for 20 plus, I guess, decades ago. This is just sensible, and it's really gonna help to relieve farmers of a lot of the squeeze that they're getting right now that is making their share of the consumer dollar spiral down further downward.
I'm 49, just like you.
You are. You turn 50 this year?
Yeah, in August.
So class of 69.
Class of 69, whenever you said that. So you'd be the nation's first Gen X president.
Yes.
What would it mean? I mean, just the generational shift there. What would that mean to have a Gen X president. Does that mean anything, really?
I think,
do we have a certain kind of perspective being right after the boomers? And
I think we definitely do. We are the computer generation. We're the generation that we're not native to.
We're not digital natives. I've always looked at myself as kind of the bridge generation.
That is exactly right. We're like the immigrants that came here first, and then their children were the first generation.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are the bridge generation from the generation that is, in many ways, still don't use those tools. There are Senate colleagues of mine that don't use email.
Right.
Or still have flip phones, to the generation that is digitally native. Mm-hmm. And that makes us far more creative. When I got to the Senate and I saw, oh my God, we are doing things through our bureaucracy that's stifling innovation. Like, we had regulatory regimes for drones. In France, they were fixing poles, doing mine surveys. We weren't even issuing permits here because of the new technology. I made the joke with the head of the FAA. I said, if you guys were around during Orville and Wilbur Wright, the planes wouldn't have got off the ground. You would have regulated them to death. 23andMe was being regulated by the FDA, not letting us do our home a DNA test. So that's this realm of biology, patent law, net neutrality, all these things. We get them because they're natural to us. And so I'm so excited to manage this largest government on the planet Earth, because I see things as a senator that just by using technology and innovation, we could be cutting costs dramatically, making a government better in customer service, creating efficiencies that produce savings as well. And I think that's the experience I have, not just being a Gen Xer, but also being a former executive that had to bring Gen X. I was a first Gen X mayor of Newark, New Jersey, and was able to, as the introductor said, he's the first guy that used Twitter. When I was mayor of my city, people could just tweet me about a pothole or tweet me about a traffic light out. We would get them fixed really quickly. I called it going from e-government to we government. Well, there are innovations we could use to pull in the collective, crowdsource in many ways, government improvement on the federal level as well, that we're not doing. So I'm excited to break that barrier and be the first Gen X president that's going to be able to bring a lot more innovation, a lot more digital savvy into the federal government.
I watched the movie Street Fight several years ago. It was a great movie. But do you see any similarities between Donald Trump and Sharp James?
That is one of the more popular questions I get. And I've learned not to say anything.
Okay. Well, I just remember when you were out, there was a scene where you were speaking outside and he pulled up a fire truck.
Yes.
And it was like a terrible tactic. But I mean, I have to admit, when he did that, I thought I laughed. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he was running his campaign out of a strip club.
Yeah.
And Trump, what?
I had it was tough years. I had my phones tapped by the city police, my car ticketed everywhere again. I'd gone up against tough, the hardest nose, most difficult campaigning you can imagine.
You probably didn't get that question in Iowa yet.
Not yet, but it's interesting. But savvy people who take time to watch that often ask me about parallels between a guy who was going on national TV and calling me Jewish and all these names as if they were pejoratives. So speaking from bias, people wonder if there's any comparisons.
Right. There was a lot of despair in Newark. Newark was one of those places that people left for dead.
Yes.
Carol, you're right now in a commercial trade center, so we're relatively prosperous, you know, for a western rural Iowa city, which is why our paper's still above water, quite honestly.
Yes.
That being said, you'll be driving through a lot of areas that are in despair. The fact that you were able to help revive an area like Newark, can you translate that and do the same for rural America?
100%. You asked me before why did a guy from Jersey, before he was running for president or anything, would get so involved in ag issues? Because I have a chip on my shoulder for any community, rural, Appalachian Mountain, factory town, any communities that are looked down on or left for dead or disrespected or underestimated, that gets my blood boiling. And I think that our rural areas have wealth, have potential, have possibility, if we will come to them creatively and think about ways to restore what I think are important parts of our heritage. We've got to stop this hollowing out of the center of our nation towards our few metropolitan areas that dominate in business and investment. And so I came out to learn a while ago, and I have got some great ideas, as you see through some of my ag policies. And I will not let there be any communities, if I'm president of the United States, that feel left behind or left out of American prosperity.
We're getting a little tight on time. Can we get the quick Spanish language?